reprimanded me just now for having the sword drill when she has to go downstairs. So we'll make sure next time that everyone who wants to participate can. I'd like the men to come forward. I want all the men to come forward. Just stand anywhere up here. Normally in church, the women are at the forefront, ministering, serving, doing the work of ministry. I find it strange that so many churches and congregations would say women can't hold positions, seeing that they're doing most of the work. But the Lord has laid on my heart to speak to men, to the men that come here, of ministry. There's work to be done. God has called men into ministry, not into entertainment, self-aggrandizement, and lifting yourself up, but to serve Christ. And so I want to pray for you men that as you walk, not in this building, because we're only here, what, an hour, 45 minutes, something like that, a week. But in your individual days when you're out there doing whatever it is that you do, that the Lord, that you would hear the Lord, because he's going to speak. He is the living God, so he speaks. And he can speak to you in your house, on your job, in your marriage, if you're single, in your singleness. He's not limited to speaking to you. The problem with us, and I say us, is that we tend to be busy, too busy to listen to him. But the second question in the whole book of the Bible is to a man. Adam, where are you? Reese, where are you? Al, the Lord is asking, where are you? Mike, where are you? Eric, where are you? Tim, where are you? Russ, where are you? Bryant, where are you? Fred, where are you? Thomas, where are you? Jameer, where are you? Joe, where are you? Thomas, where are you? Fred, where are you? Brian, where are you? That's the call of Christ on us men. And as we go, they go. And if we don't, they're here. The women are serving. They're in the thick of it. Tim is here because of Vicky. Fred is working because of Vicky. The Lord is calling men. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, God said to the men of Israel, three times a year, you will appear before me. He didn't tell the women. He told the men. And no, we don't have to appear before the Lord three times because he's with us wherever we're at. But I find it significant that the Lord would call men to himself personally. Adam, where are you? So as these men are here, I want the women to stand right where you are. and pray for these men. Right where you are, I'm going to pray, but you pray. Pray for your husbands, pray for your sons, pray for men that are here. Because the chaos that's out there, we need to be in the thick of it. The men need to be in the thick of it. So let's pray. Father God, you see us men, and you've called out to us in Adam. Adam, where are you? So, Father, I ask that you would open our ears because I know you speak. Constantly you speak. Intelligent, understandable language. We don't have to discern clouds. Is that God speaking to me? We don't have to discern or try to figure out mysterious stuff. But, Lord, in your word, you speak to us plainly. So, Father, I ask that you would raise up men who would love you, who would pursue you, who would find in you their joy, their direction, their calling to serve your body here at Greater Love in Christ Church, that men would step up and not sit back, that they would step up and minister to one another, that we men would love one another and show the love of Christ man to man, that the world might see that men can love each other correctly. Because of you, Lord Jesus, who have loved us men intimately, personally, graciously, mercifully, you have called us men to yourself. And as my brother has said, there's 20 miles of skid marks as you dragged us to yourself that we might know you. Raise men up in this congregation, Lord God, that we might minister in this congregation, that we might serve more so in this congregation. Give us a desire, Lord, to be in fellowship with one another, not just 45 minutes on Sunday, but at our homes. I thank you for Sam, who has asked me to come to his house and just read with him. Lord, I thank you for Sam. I thank you that he would call me out. You're the pastor of this church, and I sit across the street, and you don't come to me. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. Forgive us men of our haughtiness and our comfort. Call us, Lord Jesus, to yourself. Let us hear your voice. Let us open our ears that we might hear you call us to ministry, to service, that this church might be what you have called us to, greater love to one another, to this neighborhood, to these children that are coming in, to these mothers who are coming in, to the widows who are here. Lord, that we would love each other, that men here in greater love, we would love each other and find in each other fellowship, not just seeing each other on Sunday and that's it. Give me a heart, Lord God, to reach out to the men here. Give me direction as a pastor that I might minister to these men and serve them, that they might go and serve this congregation, this neighborhood, that the men who come off the street, that there would be men in this building that would love them to you, Lord Jesus, that those men's hearts and lives would be changed. Father, I pray for our congregation of men here. Lift them up, encourage their heart. Let them take direction. Let them take, Lord, you said correction starts at your house. So, Lord, as Pastor Lott said, take us to the woodshed. Straighten us out. Straighten me out as a pastor. Straighten these men out as men who love you. And draw us to you, Lord God, so intimately. Take us to yourself as you have promised to do. Minister to our hearts that we might serve one another and those around us. Father, I ask that you would raise up men here, that they would invite each other to their homes, that they might have actual relationships with one another. That you, Lord Jesus, would receive glory and honor and praise and worship from us men. Lord, I remember in the scriptures, the women were following. You had to call the men. You called Peter, you called James and John, but the women were just flowing to you. Call us, Lord Jesus. Call us, Lord God. Call us in the ministry. Call us, Lord Jesus. Move in our hearts that we might pursue you, Lord God, as men. Father, I remember Miss Bastanaby praying for men over on Montgomery Street in the 60s. And you brought men to minister. Father, we pray that these men would see in each other friendship. That they would see each other as friends and spend time with one another around you. Not around a basketball game, not around a football game. Yeah, Lord, yes, those things, but around you. That our vision might be one, our direction might be one. That being the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. Let us men lay down our lives for one another. Let us lay down our lives for this church, for the women here, for the neighborhood here, for these children here. Raise us up, Lord God, and call us. That you might be glorified in us men. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Fred, should I go to this? Lapel mic. Bless the Lord. Bless our God. This will be short because it's hot. It is hot. I want to thank Brother Reese. Yesterday he was out here for like 3 hours working. And we need men to come and beautify the building so that the neighborhood would begin to say, that's beautiful. The lawn is beautiful. The building is beautiful. You know, and I met some of those people in there, and they're actually beautiful also. Thank you, Reese. Al and Sally was here 2 hours cleaning. Thank you. Thank you. Taking out garbage, vacuuming, trying to make this place inside beautiful so that you can sit in a nice clean pew, beautifying the building. But we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, Christ wants to beautify us with his love, as we love one another. Sister Vicky, thank you for what you did with my brother. Thank you. Who'd have thought? I have to tell you about my brother Fred. I don't say this to put you on the spot, but we met Fred when we were doing the food baskets. And he came out his house, and we had food baskets, and we said, we want to give you food. And he says, I don't need any food. So tell me about this church that you have around the corner. What time does service start? I said, 10 o'clock. What time does it end? I'm not quite sure. Whenever I finish preaching, I guess. He goes, good. I want to come. Huh? You want to come to a church where you don't know when you're getting out? He goes, yeah, because I figure if you're speaking the word of God, how can you tell God when it's time to quit? I think he's got some pretty good theology. That was his disposition. How can you tell God when it's time to quit? Services from 10 to 12. Huh? No. Thank you, Fred. Thank you for your companionship. When I see you, you're a breath of fresh air. You're an encouragement to my heart. To see a young man who Christ has pursued, and he's drawn him with cords of love. To hear Russ say, when I saw Fred, I went to put my hand out to be courteous, maybe even gracious, and he hugged me. There's a changed man. That's what Christ does. Here's a young 30-year-old black man. Russ, what are you, 84? 84-year-old white man. And he runs to him to put his arms around him. Are you kidding me? Sam sits across the street. And I get in my car and I go and I do all my stuff. And he said to me, hey, I'm here. And I want to apologize to you, Sam. Personally, I thank you for being merciful and gracious to me to say, would you read the Bible to me? And I stand on his porch and I thank the Lord for Sam. His dog attacked me. And Sam kept saying, oh, he doesn't bite. And the dog said, I got teeth. But I thank you, Sam, for inviting me to your house to spend time with you, to get to know you, to rub elbows with you. Sam, where are you from? North Carolina? You know the big stuff that's going on now about the Trump and the race and this. Look what Christ does. Takes a North Carolinian and a New Yorker and puts them together. And then gives us love for one another, conversation with one another, around not whether he's from North Carolina or I'm from New York, or he's white and I'm black, around the Passover lamb. Yes. Christ is into changing our lives. That's what he wants to do. Jesus did not come to make good people better. Think about that. You know how we think of ourselves. I'm all right. I'm good. Jesus did not come to make good people better. He came to make dead people live. It's a big difference. I want to say to the young lady, I don't want to put you on the spot. I thank you for being here. I thank you for being here with your baby who's crying, because this church needs to hear babies crying. Lots of them, that's right. I thank you for being here. Sister Jan, I thank you for ministering to that young woman when her baby was crying, and she just came up and just swooped the baby and gave the mother rest. And she ministered to the young woman through her baby. I remember Sally did that a couple weeks ago. Jameer, thank you for texting me. I mean that. To have men who want to hang around with their pastor. I remember hanging out with Bill. I remember the Lord sending me to Pastor Lott, and I didn't want to go. And I argued all the way out to Tully with the Lord about going to talk to Bill about some stuff I was doing. Stuff I was doing. You know, kind of stuff we do. And the Lord said, go see Bill. Oh, I can't go see Bill. He's my pastor. I can't tell him. So, Jameer, thank you for reaching out to me, to having a man who would actually think about me and text me. Hey, this is Jameer, Sherry's son. Hey, all right. I'm serious. Thomas, thank you. You always there. Always. Brian. Hey, man, come on. Man, it's good. Those are the ways of Christ. The world says, be a man, separate yourself. Christ says, I'll show you what a man looks like, Nate. Eric, Thomas, Al, Mike, Thomas, Brian, I'll show you what a man looks like. Love your wife. Not just love her, you know how they show you on television to love. Give your life up for her. Well, the scripture says, lay down your life for her. I'm a man. I'm going to do my thing. Wrong. That's a boy. That's being a boy. You ever see little boys? I want mine. Jesus comes and he changes us from being boys to men. As C.S. Lewis says, men with chests, meaning men with hearts, to love our wives the way Christ loved the church. Whoa, this is some good stuff, and I ain't even got started yet. For the last few weeks, we've been considering the exodus of the children of Israel, looking at the Word of God in the book of Exodus. Last week, we considered the responses of Pharaoh and how he attempted to negotiate God. You ever try to do that with the Lord? No, seriously. You ever try to negotiate? God says this. Lord, I can. Why don't we do it this way? Well, that's what Pharaoh did. And God wasn't having it. And he ain't going to have it in your life, and he ain't going to have it in my life. He does not negotiate. It's his way or the highway. He's God. And as God, he has a right to your life and my life. He has a right to tell you, as a follower of Christ, Jesus says, if you love me, do what I say. Not do what you want, do what I say. He's the master. We are his bond slaves. And that word slave don't go too good in the African American community. But we are Christ's slave. And he has a right to say whatever he wants to say to you and me, and expect that you will obey him. But the interesting thing about what he requests is never for him. Think about that. He doesn't say, okay, turn to Jerusalem 5 times a day, bow down on a prayer rug, make absolution, don't eat pork, don't do this, don't. No, he says, love one another. That's the hardest thing in the world. It's easy to stop eating certain foods. Matter of fact, me and Sally been having that long conversation. Vegan or keto or whatever. It's easy to give up those external things. Love one another. Ooh. That means I have to actually get to know you probably, huh? And so looking at this whole scenario in the book of Exodus, I can't help but keep bringing us back to Exodus 6. So turn with me to Exodus 6, and we're going to read just 2 verses. Verse 6 and 7. Exodus 6, 6 and 7. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that we would give you thanks, come to you with a thankful heart for what you have done for us in sending your son, the Passover lamb, that you might take us to yourself and that we might be yours in this intimate, just this most intimate relationship where you actually indwell us. Rid us of that sin that so easily besets us. Break the chains of sin in our lives. Let us come and fellowship around the Passover meal, your death. And let us find in you, Lord God, who we are, our real selves. Who you desire us to be, what you will do with our lives to conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Personal pronouns, I. That's God speaking. And you hear his desire for you and I in reference to him, which is, I will do this for you. I will do this for you. I will do this for you. I will. bring you out. I will rid you out. I will redeem you. I will take you to me. I will be your God. I am the Lord. One of the things that I've been mentioning is that we, when we read the scriptures, we want to watch for repetition, where God says the same thing over and over and over. Think about your relationship with the person that you're most comfortable with or you love the most. Do you say, I love you a lot? I love you. If you're a husband and wife, do you say that to one another? I love you. And so you watch God speak, and he tells us his desire, his heart. He lays his heart out in front of us. And he desires to have this most intimate relationship, excuse me, with you and I. And he shows it to us in vivid colors in the story of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, Moses and the children of Israel. He shows us it in living color. And he wants to teach us by demonstrating how much he loves us. And so when we read the story of Exodus, we see this whole drama laid out in front of us, and we get caught up in the miracles. But there's this refrain that I mentioned last week. Throughout the whole book, you see it in verse 7 of what we just read. And it says, and you shall know who I am. You shall know that I am the Lord your God. And that is repeated throughout the whole of Exodus. So just watch this. Exodus 7:5. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. So what he was after with Israel, he was after with the Egyptians, that they might know him. Because if I were an Egyptian and Moses were doing the miracles, if I did what Moses said, the plagues wouldn't come on me. If I knew the Lord like Moses knew the Lord and did what Moses said, I wouldn't experience the judgment of the Lord, even as an Egyptian, if I would do what the Word of God says. And so in Exodus 7:17, you see the same thing, that they might know that I am the Lord. Exodus 8:22, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Exodus 9:29, that thou mayest know that the earth is the Lord's. Exodus 10:2, that you may know how that I am the Lord. And it happens, that just keeps going on throughout Exodus. That same refrain, that you might know me, that you might know me, that you might know me. What do you think the Lord is after from you? Your money? I was at my wife's nephew's house last Monday, and as I was leaving, I was walking out to my car, and I walked past the car, and there were two gentlemen in the car rolling up a blunt. Mm-hmm.
And the one said to me, "Hey, preacher."
So I stopped. "Hey, how you doing, man?
So you making that money, huh?" That was his statement to me. That's the first thing came out of his mouth. "Getting that money, huh?"
"What?
Can I have any amens on that?" "Just joking." But that's their perception. That's the first thing came out of his mouth. Little did he recognize that the one that was making the money was the one he was giving his money to for the blunts. They're making the money and trashing his life. Smoking blunts and chilling, doing nothing. I'm just chilling, doing nothing. I text Fred yesterday morning, "Hey, man, we're going to go to breakfast." I got a text back 2 hours later, "Man, I just woke up. The physical labor is wearing me out. Work." He ain't chilling. He's working. And it's a good thing. Thank you. That's what ministry looks like. We met him. We talked to him. We shared the gospel. We invited him. He came. And the Lord was like in the thick of all of it. Because Fred told me, he says, "You know, a few years ago, I wouldn't have gave you the time of day." It's funny how the Lord works in people's lives where you don't even see it. Like I always say, you know, the walls of Jericho, you've heard that story, how they fell down. And the children of Israel walking around the outside of the wall. Well, the Lord was inside the enemy's camp because the walls fell out. They didn't fall in. He's in the enemy's camp tearing down the walls, changing things where you can't see it, doing things in people's lives that you don't know. And he just says, "Walk around. Just do what I tell you. Just do what I say." "Yeah, but Lord, this is backwards. You want us to walk around a wall? I thought we was going to go in there and crush the enemy. Man, we are ready." And the Lord goes, "Walk around the wall." Doesn't make any sense. But it ain't your fight. "Go bring food to the neighborhood." I didn't know we were going to meet Fred. I didn't know what the Lord was doing in his life. I have no idea. What's the odds of someone saying, "Because your service doesn't end at a certain time, I'll come"? That's different. And so the Lord is after us to know him intimately. He says, "I will take you to myself." It's as a bride, a bridegroom taking a bride. That intimate. "I'll take you to me." Is that how you feel about Christ? Or is it just church? I got to go to church. I got to go sit in the pew and listen to music and some guy trying to get my money. The Lord wants you to know him personally, intimately. "I want to take you as a husband does a wife to myself and love you." And so when we look at this story of the Exodus, we see these miracles, these plagues. We see the water turn into blood. We see the frogs. We see the lice. We see the flies. We see the locust. And we're like, wow, man, look at what the Lord is doing. This is crazy. But you notice one thing doesn't happen? The children of Israel don't get out. They're still slaves. All these miracles, all these spectacular things happening, you know how they go in church, and you can come down to this. I was in West Palm Beach last couple weeks ago, and there was an advertisement for miracles for a couple days. Huh? Come to the spectacular. And there's Moses, and he's doing these miracles, but one problem remains. They're still in bondage. The children of Israel are still having to work and be in bondage. What's the solution, Moses? I thought we were getting out of here. And it's a picture of sin that keeps us in slavery. And the world tells the church the Passover lamb is not the answer. Be kind to people. That's the answer. Make a program up. A basketball program. That's the answer. Have a food pantry. That's the answer. Do all this other stuff. Just don't kill the Passover lamb. Think about it. Pharaoh was negotiating. No matter all these miracles, Pharaoh was still like, it's okay. You can do all the miracles. They ain't going nowhere. And then the Lord says, okay, this is just what I want. I must show you in living color what the solution is to your problem. It is not miracles, and we look for them. It is not excitement and beautiful orchestrated music by Brother Fred and this great singing. Kill the Passover. Kill a lamb. Take the blood. Put it over your door. Put it on the sides of your doors. Huh? You don't have another spectacular miracle? Kill the Passover lamb. I'm going to bring you out of slavery. This is a living picture. The slavery that the Jewish people were in is a picture of the slavery that you and I and the rest of the world, we were either in it or still in it. We've either been redeemed or we're still in bondage. It is only the death of Christ Jesus that has changed your life if you've been born again. It is the only answer that the church has to every single problem in your life. But we've been told, look, we need something a little different. You can't keep just telling people about the death of Christ. That's just not going to do it. What changed you from being who you were if you've been born again? It was faith in the death of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Ephesians, and some of you were whoremongers, thieves, liars, cheats. Anybody? And you were dead in sin. That's why I said Jesus didn't come to make your life better. That's what we want. Oh, I want a better life. He didn't come to make your life better. Following Jesus, the disciples, all of them were killed except for one or two. They were martyred. Great life following Jesus? You sure you want to follow him? Your life can go drastically downhill following Jesus. It is the Passover that freed the children of Israel from their bondage. And here comes Jesus. And he says to the disciples, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Huh. It was Christ's desire to show his disciples, this is the meaning of the Passover. I am going to shed my own blood for you to escape death, the wrath of God. This is the message. It doesn't tickle the ears. It's the truth. It is the liberation of you and I. It is the setting us free from death, the wrath of God, because remember, who was going to kill who in the Exodus story? God says, I'm coming in and I'm going to kill all the firstborn. So it's God who's going to do the punishment. I'm going to kill people. Oh, we like a loving God. Oh, I'm going to kill the firstborn, from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the dog that's lapping in the streets. I'm going to kill the firstborn. I'm going to kill people. That's God speaking. Read it, Exodus. And then he says, but I'll give you a way to escape my punishment, my judgment, my wrath. Kill the Passover lamb and take the blood and smear it on the posts and on the sides and on the top. And when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you and won't kill anybody in your house. What's interesting is when you read that passage, it says, and I will prevent the destroyer from coming in. Wait a second. So you're going to do the killing, but you'll prevent the one that's going to do the killing from coming in. He stands guard. When he sees the blood, he goes, you can't come in and kill nobody. I'm protecting them. So at once he is the judge and the protector of us. He protects us. He guards the door so that the destroyer would not come in. When we are in Christ, we are shielded from the wrath of God against sin. And Christ takes the punishment. This is our message. Get in the house where the blood is shed. Get in. There's safety. He'll protect us. He is our protection in the face of his own wrath. And so we as a church, when we go out, we should be sharing not our church. Oh, we got a great church and or our music, oh, we got great music. The Passover. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus' death. Tell them. Tell your neighbor. Tell your coworker. Tell your family members. Now watch this. God says to the children of Israel, if the lamb is too big for your family, invite your neighbor. Share the Passover lamb with your neighbor. Do you share Christ with your neighbor? Or are they just your neighbor? The ones you get sick of, tired of. They don't mow their lawn. They step on my lawn. They don't fix their house. They need to paint their house. They play music too loud. Their dog barks all night. I'm just sick of them. God says to the children of Israel, share the Passover with your neighbor. Share the Passover with your neighbor. Share Christ with your neighbor. Share them with your neighbor. Share them with your neighbor. Sam called me out and he says, oh, I hear you preaching about it. Share them with me. Yeah, Sam, you're right. You're right. Thank you. Not only does God say share the Passover with your neighbor, then he says, now, when I bring you out, tell your children about it. Tell your children what I did for you. Tell your children how I saved you. Tell them about the Passover lamb that redeemed you. Tell your children about me. Husbands, do you tell your children or do you let your wives cuddle the children at night and tell them the Bible stories? Do you tell them, men? Tell your children about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus, how he loved them. And it was shown that he loved them by his death on the cross, the Passover lamb. That's all in Exodus. That's not the New Testament. That's Exodus. If the Passover lamb is too big, get your neighbor, share it with him. And when I bring you out and your kids ask you, why do you go to church? Why do you take that little cup of wine and that, how come that bread has holes in it? It's a graphic picture of the death of Christ. It's a graphic picture. That little, notice we don't have the little round. We have matzah. And it always has all these holes in it. Because that's what the Jews ate on the Passover. And it pictures Christ with holes in his hands and his feet. It's a graphic picture of the Messiah, the Passover lamb. It's in, as the old show used to say, in living color. The gospel being preached to the children of Israel, to the people of Egypt, because the Egyptians could have did the same thing. And some of them did. They took the blood. Oh, man. He's been killing, all this stuff been going on. I'm make sure I got more than enough. I'm splashing this stuff all over to my door. I want to live. We have the message of the Passover lamb. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with your children. Share it with one another. And watch what the Lord does in this church. when we get the message right of Christ, the beauty of his death on the cross. Jesus said this, if I be lifted up from the earth, not praised, not exalted, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. And the scripture says he spoke of his death and what kind of death he would die. We must point people to the cross. It isn't a nice message because it tells us about our sin. And I don't want to know about my sin. I don't want to know that I'm guilty, that I'm dead. I want to know I'm okay. I want to know about the good life now. I want to have minds and get a little more. Our message is a single message of the death of Christ. And it will change your life if you trust Christ about it. I'm just telling you. Tell your neighbor. Share the gospel. You want this church to look like what Brother Priester talked about? Blacks and whites and Asians and Hispanics and Native American. Well, you know some of those people. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Share the Passover lamb. And let the Lord free us from our sin. Amen. Let's pray. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power and wisdom and strength. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. Worthy is the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who has loved us with an everlasting love. Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for sending your son to die for me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you willingly laid down your life for me. There was nothing that I could do. I was dead in sin, and you came in and of yourself to give your life a ransom for mine. Do you believe this? As you've heard the gospel, do you believe that Christ is the Passover lamb who can set you free from bondage of sin and death? Worthy is the lamb. If you believe this and you've not asked Christ to forgive you of your sin, if you've not received Christ as Lord and Savior, right where you are, just raise your hand and say, by raising your hand, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge that you've died for me, that you are the Passover lamb that can free me from the bondage of my sin. Come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, be my Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. He says, if any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. He'll receive you. Worthy, Lord God. Worthy, Lord Jesus. Worthy art thou to receive honor and glory and power and strength and wisdom, because you have laid down your life. You have shed your own blood for our sin. And we worship you. We thank you. With grateful hearts, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless our God. Bless his name. Amen.